The question today is, how must the gospel come to one for them to be saved? And of course, we quoted the first, and this is part two, by the way, of this question. We quoted 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 5, when Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, our gospel must come not in word only, but also our gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. Now, we define what the gospel was, and we usually say the gospel of Christ is the death, burial, and resurrection, and that's true, but it involves the virgin birth, the sinless life, the vicarious death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, his ministry of intercession, and his bodily coming back again. And by the way, it also involves the sanctification work of the Spirit, because there'll be no one saved until that sanctifying work of the Spirit we call Holy Ghost conviction is complete in a person's life. And so our gospel, and that's the good news about these things, and when we preach, it's more than just a death and the cross and just a few little things. You see, Jesus had to be virgin born if he qualified to be our sin bearer. He had to live a sinless life if he qualified to be our sin bearer. And then, of course, after he resurrected, he went back to the Father making intercession for us now. But he's coming back for us one day. Let not your heart be troubled. John 14, he told his disciples, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. In other words, and he went to prepare a place for us, and he will come again, revealing himself unto us and taking us back with him, is what he basically said in those verses. And so therefore, we realize that the gospel must come in word. But Paul is saying in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, it's not word only. You see, word only is just like the name it and claim it crowd, and that gets many people to believe they're saved by word only, and they're lost, and they're going to die, and they're going to go to hell. But we also said that it must come by power of the Holy Ghost and power in the Holy Ghost, and I put those two together because you can't have one without the other. Jesus said this in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, when he was about to leave out. He said, but when you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So it's the Holy Ghost who empowers. And he's the one who prepares the ground whereby the word, in other words, he sharpens the word to make it like a plowshare to plow up one's heart. And he's the one who works the work of reproval, which is the factual part of Holy Ghost conviction. John 16:8 said, when he's come, talking about the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me. In other words, he must lay blame on sharply and sternly and convict one of the sin, the root problem, and that's unbelief. And then also I said yesterday that he will convict you of judgment. And John 16:11 says of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Now, what it amounts to is the prince of this world was the Lord's archangel of Lucifer, who was really we would call him his right hand man. He was the one that corresponds to the Son of God. And you see, there's three archangels, and he was called the anointed, most anointed cherub in the book of Ezekiel. And yet he fell in sin. He got the I will. He said, I will exalt myself above the throne of God. And he was cast down to earth. And what God's saying through John here in John 16:11, he'll reprove you of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. If God didn't allow his right hand man, in a sense, to get by with the sin he had in his life, he won't let you get by. Now, judgment, of course, is the outcome, which is hell. I understand that. And many people come in and fall down, and maybe they've been dealt with in the area of maybe something in their lives had been spoken to. The word of God's become sharp, and God's laid blame on them, and they didn't fully understand that in their ground hadn't been made good ground yet, and they come and say, I don't want to go to hell. And listen, God don't save you to keep you out of hell. That's just part of the three things he said that you must be reproved of. And remember, reproval is the factual part of Holy Ghost conviction. You see, God, yes, there is a judgment that you're going to have to face, but verse 10 said you need to be reproved of righteousness, which means you need to be convinced of the righteousness you need. And that righteousness is not self-righteousness. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the righteousness of God. He said in John 16:10, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. as his disciples walked with Jesus up on this earth, they didn't have to be convinced that Jesus was the righteousness of God. They knew that. But now he said, I'm leaving, and it's going to take the Holy Ghost to convict you and convince you that what you need is righteousness, and it's not self-righteousness, but it's him. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 30, he said, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So we see the Holy Ghost is the one who empowers. He's the one who prepares the soil and makes it good ground so the seed can find lodging and be saved. He works reproval, the factual part of Holy Ghost conviction, complete in all areas, must be complete in all areas of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. But he also works godly sorrow, which is connected to that, because just as a reproval is the factual part of Holy Ghost conviction, godly sorrow is the emotional part of Holy Ghost conviction. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. In other words, it takes a godly sorrow to work in you. That's the emotional part. Some people believe you don't have to have emotions with salvation. I want to tell you, God's going to stir your emotions. He's going to stir your mind. He's going to, and in other words, if all you have is emotions, you don't have what you need. You've got to have things that lines up with the Word of God, because the gospel must come in word, but also in power and the Holy Ghost. And when he lays blame on you in the work of reproval, he'll also cause this godly sorrow, which is the deep God-caused grief over one's sin, which is the sin of unbelief, which leads one to repentance, which is necessary for one to be saved. In other words, repentance is a change of mind, a change of attitude, a change of heart, a change of direction, a turning around from sin and self and turning toward God and taking up sides with God against yourself. You'll not be saved without that. And man's nature's not to come to that place. Therefore, it takes power and the Holy Ghost. The Word has to be sharp, plowing the ground, planting the seed, and causing, in other words, a fruit to come forth. But without power and the Holy Ghost in one's experience, all they have is the Word of God, which is really another gospel. And listen, remember what Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9? If any man receives any other than what preaches any other than what gospel we preached, or if anybody receives any other gospel than what we have preached, then let him be accursed. Just let him go on to hell. Now, let me say this, that what a lot of people have that they call the Holy Ghost is nothing but a bunch of hype, a bunch of man-made, pumped-up emotion. There's no real power, no real Holy Ghost. Therefore, there's no real gospel. And without the gospel coming in power and the Holy Ghost, and in other words, and much assurance along with the Word, without that, one's experience is word only. Jesus told the Pharisees something about that in John chapter 5, verse 39 through 40. He said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. In other words, he said, search the Scripture. Now that was the Old Testament Scripture they had. And he said, you think you have eternal life in the Word. No. He said, but you'll not come. They're they which testify of me. They're a pointer. In other words, you've got to believe the Word. You've got to believe, as 1 John 5 says, the record. The record is the one, is what points you to the Lord Jesus. But listen, life's not in the Word. Life's not in the written Word. Life's in the living Word. John 1:4 says, in him is life. 1 John 5:12 said, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Listen, you must have him who is the righteousness of God, and all these areas must be complete in you. So when the gospel comes in word, in power, and in the Holy Ghost, that means that his complete package is coming your way. And in that, it means that a person has had a human instrument, God's choice, that crossed his path with truth. You will not be saved without a human instrument crossing your path. There's got to be somebody, please God, by the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. And in other words, now there's going to be a human instrument. Paul said this, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 5. This is what he told Corinth. Now, Corinth had a problem. They had many problems. They were divided over men. Some liked Paul, some liked Apollos, and some spoke in other places of Cephas, which was Peter. And then some even spoke up and said, I like Christ, I like Jesus. In other words, well, they got real spiritual in that, but there was division in that. But Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 5. He said, who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? And then he answers his question, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. In other words, every man that's saved, every man who believes with saving faith, has a human instrument that crossed their path. You didn't get saved without the human instrument. Paul wasn't saved without human instruments. I mean, he heard Stephen pray. He watched him die. Heard him preach. It pricked him, and God used it to prick his heart. But then, even on the street called straight, for 3 days he lay there under Holy Ghost conviction, counting the cost, and came to a conclusion. He was willing to pay the price, and therefore God sent human instrument, Ananias, across his path that he might be saved. So there must be a human instrument. Now, if the gospel comes to you in word, and comes to you in power, and it comes to you in the Holy Ghost, there will have been a human instrument in your life. Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And many people use that wrongly without taking it in context with the next verses. But he says in verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? So you have to have a human instrument cross your path, proclaiming the truth, the gospel, if you please, that enabled one to call on the Lord from the heart. So when the gospel comes, and it must come with all these ingredients, then that enables one to call on the from the heart on the Lord in truth. Psalms 145, verse number 18, he said, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. If you don't know truth, and your ground hadn't been made good, and there hadn't been some understanding about some things that God has seen, righteousness and judgment, for instance, then you'll never call in truth. That's why you need the preacher to preach you the word. Just reading it was not enough. Just reading some tract is not enough. You must have the word, and when you have the word of God come to you in power and in the Holy Ghost, what happens is it reaches down in your heart, plows the soil of your heart, and as a result, it brings you to the point that you might, not just might, but that you can be saved. How must the gospel come to one for them to be saved? It must come in word, it must come in power, and it must come in the Holy Ghost. Has it come to you that way? If it hasn't, then you're not saved. You need to get honest and let the Lord save you. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.